you are asking me questions about details that I thought you were just flat crazy for asking me. How could you possibly want to know the answer to those questions? It seemed counterproductive and seemed like it was pointless. And it's like, what is the end game here? The end game is that you had questions that you needed answers to for your own ability to heal and to be able to wrap your mind around what was going on. You're trying to make sense out of the senseless.
Has your marriage been shattered by sexual betrayal? Are you wondering if it's possible to save your marriage, or even if you want to?
Your story matters, and there is hope for your marriage through Christ Jesus. Welcome to Beyond Broken Vows podcast. I'm Johnny.
I'm Emily.
And friends, we've been where you are.
Our marriage vows were shattered by adultery fueled by pornography. But through a commitment to recovery, our faith in God, and our hope for redemption, we set out on a journey of healing. Now our marriage is better than we ever could have imagined, and we give God all the glory.
On our show, we'll talk through difficult topics, infidelity, porn addiction, recovery, and more. So if you're ready to move from pain-filled todays into hope-filled tomorrows, grab your favorite beverage and spend a little time with us.
Marriage is redeemed.
Hearts renewed.
On Beyond Broken Vows podcast. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Beyond Broken Vows podcast.
Yes, it's so good to have you with us today. Over the last few episodes, we have been talking through sexual intimacy after infidelity and betrayal. Emily, you got to tell your story, and I got to tell my side of the story. Then we got to tell our story together as far as what our intimate sexuality looks like, moving forward from the start of recovery to where we are today. And today, we're going to turn our focus, like we promised last week, on how we got here.
I think that's key to not only say that we did get here, but how did we get here? I think it's an important aspect of helping others connect with the recovery process.
But before we get into today's content, Emily, we have a review.
Yes, we do. And this one comes from Fia Lee 27. And this review is titled Raw and Real. It says, "This is not a topic that you hear talked about much, especially in Christian circles. Thank you for your faith and taking on this topic."
Thank you, Fia Lee 27. We really appreciate that you would write in and say that, because we are definitely trying to bring this more to the forefront of discussing it in a faith context. And so through encouragement from folks like you and others who have said something similar, we hope to be able to, at some point in the future, start getting this message into churches all over the country.
Yes, because the statistics do show that the pornography issue is very prevalent in the church as well.
Yes, that's correct. It's not just staying steady. It's still increasing.
Right. So we are doing our part to make people aware that it's happening even in Christian marriages. And hopefully we can encourage folks to come out of the shadows and into the light so they can experience hope and healing that only comes through the power of Jesus Christ.
And even more so important for those of us who are in the church, because as the church goes, so goes the culture. If we can right our own ship with our own personal recovery and then take that message to the church, we can become relevant to the world that needs to hear this message. And on that note, friends, we want to invite you to work with us to help you navigate the difficult nuances of your broken marriage. Our coaching program will help you discover God's plan for you and your spouse to experience healing and restoration, resulting in a better marriage than you can even imagine possible. So head on over to coaching.beyondbrokenvows.com. That's coaching.beyondbrokenvows.com.
Yes, thank you, Johnny. So I just wanted to ask our audience, have you been on the healing journey after sexual betrayal and you and your spouse are ready to level up? Do you want to experience more true intimacy? Well, today we will be talking about three simple steps to take that are not easy because it will involve some risk. But if you're looking for intimacy that goes far beyond anything that our world has to offer, it's so worth it.
Which is why I'm really excited to get into this, because so many times on our episodes, we're dealing with what's broken. So today, we get to talk to folks who are on the journey already. Some things have already worked. They're seeing some progress. But we hope to give some encouragement, like you said earlier, so that they can level up.
Yes, just to become closer and have a more fulfilling marriage than ever before. Before we get into that, though, Johnny, would you pray for us today?
I will do that. Father, thank you so much for giving us this day that we can bring these words of hope, that through your pattern and what you have shown us through Scripture, if we'll just take them into our heart and have a mind to understand, you've already given us the blueprint and the path to follow. It is simple, but it isn't easy. And we're grateful that we have you to comfort us and your Holy Spirit to guide us each day. So we ask for your mercy and grace as we dive into this discussion today and bring a message of hope to those who need to hear. Thank you, Father. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Okay, so we're going to be talking today about God's plan for intimacy.
That's right.
And we're going to go through some scripture from the very beginning of the Bible in Genesis. And I don't know how many people go back to Genesis to read it very often, but it's the start of the love story that God has for us.
Right. You know, so many times, Emily, when we're trying to unfold certain issues, it's so easy to go back and ask, what's wrong? What's wrong with you?
Mm-hmm.
But we've learned in our own recovery process and through counseling sessions and therapy that a better question to ask is, what happened?
Yes.
And so this is really why we're going back to these two passages that we're going to be talking about today from Genesis. We already know what's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But now we're going to go back and we're going to find out what happened. And we're going to unfold from there. So as we go into this, ladies and gentlemen, just remember, this is God's plan for intimacy. And we're going to unpack this for you just
yes.
a little bit.
Yep.
So the two passages that we want to share today, one comes out of Genesis chapter 2. And the next one comes out of Genesis chapter 3. So here we go, out of the book of Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 through 25. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat from it, you will certainly die." The Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the wild animals and all the birds in the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds in the sky, and all the wild animals. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep, and while he was sleeping, he took one of man's ribs and then closed up the place with flesh. The Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame." So this was a lot for me to read to set up the context for those last few words, that Adam and his wife were both naked, and they knew no shame. And it's really important to understand that at this point in time, but something changes. Emily, you want to shed a light on that?
Yes, absolutely. From Genesis chapter 3, 1 through 13. "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?' The woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die.' 'You will not certainly die,' the serpent said to the woman, 'for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate."
Emily, what is the main part of this passage that we want to direct everybody to?
Well, there's just a few words right there towards the end where Adam says, "I was naked, so I hid."
That's exactly right. That's the whole point of our show today. We start in Genesis chapter 2, where everything is really good, and Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame.
Yes, but by chapter 3, they were naked, and they were hiding, because they were ashamed.
That's exactly right. This is what happens to us in our relationships. When we come together in marriage, we want to share everything, and we want to be together, and we are so close to each other. And then we start believing lies. Lies start to seep in, and we start to move away from what we once believed or held true because of this deception, and distance is starting to be created here.
Yes, distance in relationship with each other and distance in relationship to God.
And the two are absolutely inseparable.
Mm-hmm.
In our relationships as husband and wife, we need to attain such a closeness that we can't be identified one from another.
Uh-huh.
That we are, in fact, one person.
Right.
We mentioned a couple of episodes back when I was telling my story about how I was confident that I could share with that young sailor on the ship that we would adopt that baby if they would just carry the baby to term.
Mm-hmm.
And that was that sense of closeness and oneness. I knew that you would want me to do that.
Yes, we were of one mind and one heart.
That's right.
And then when we came back together, we were one sexually as well.
Yes, so sexual intimacy has less to do with where the penis goes and more to do with the distance between a man and his wife.
Yes, greater distance equals less intimacy. And on the flip side, less distance equates to greater intimacy.
Emily, that is absolutely the secret to having a God-like intimacy in our marriages. We have to find every way possible to decrease the distance between us.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
A husband and wife has to get to a point where they are so close, like I said before, that they are indistinguishable from who is who to a certain extent.
Yeah, that's more of a metaphor, right? But yes, it's something to work towards. Have you ever seen on the internet where they have pictures of pets and people and they look like each other?
Yes.
Isn't that the weirdest thing? And it's like they start to look like each other because they're together and have such a tight bond. I mean, animals, dogs especially, they love us unconditionally, right? There's no guile in them. And it's easy to get close to your dog, your pet, because they love you no matter what. And so I don't know why that is, but it's so funny to see those pictures on the internet. It cracks me up.
So if you're intimating at this point that, you know, we spend so much time together, we're starting to look like each other,
uh-huh.
I certainly hope that's not true because my hair's starting to recede just a little bit. Somehow I just don't think that would be a good look on you.
Yeah, and it doesn't help when you go start a burn pile and you burn the front of your hair off.
That has not been helpful. Talk about your awkward regrowth period.
Yes, that's what you're in right now.
Okay, so moving on, Emily, here's what we want to say to everybody who's listening. True intimacy occurs when we close the distance between each other, like we just said. This is accomplished through three daily practices.
Yes, and those are transparency, vulnerability, and rigorous honesty.
Now, these three words should not be strangers to anybody who has spent any time listening to us.
Yeah, we've talked about these a lot.
Especially through our 12-step episodes when we were talking about how important these three daily steps are. but now we're going to apply them to our sexual intimacy and why these three are important steps to take in order to level up.
So let's start with transparency.
Yes.
Transparency is really just being able to share everything about yourself with your spouse, you know, to be easily seen through. You're just sharing all parts of your life with your spouse. A lot of people, especially men, don't talk a lot.
Right.
And they don't really share things with their spouse, even just mundane things. They're very closed and they keep things close to the chest. So they're not very well known. And so transparency would be to share the things that you're feeling, thinking, your likes, your dislikes, just really everything about you that kind of makes you tick.
Right. So men, I would say this, is your wife constantly having to ask you questions about you? If that's the case, you may not be transparent.
Yes.
She may be finding it difficult to see you or see through you.
Communication is absolutely a skill that we all need to learn. And so the next one, Johnny, is vulnerability. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
So vulnerability, again, is everything about you, but it also includes your weaknesses. This is the deep stuff. It can mean putting yourself in a position where you could possibly be rejected.
Yes, that's a scary place to be.
It is. And we as men, we don't like vulnerability. We don't want to open ourselves up to where we feel that we could be rejected or attacked. Rejection can even feel like a personal attack, even if it's just you disagreeing with a thought that I have. You're a human being and your thoughts are different than my thoughts sometimes. Even though we're working toward this intimacy where we're indistinguishable from each other, we're still unique individuals all the while.
Right. It's so complex.
It is, but vulnerability is absolutely key. And you and I have found that it has worked so well. The more that you see me and the more that you hear about my weaknesses, I dare say that I've really become stronger as a result. This may seem a little butt-clenching to some of our men listeners, but I will say this. I'm glad that you know my weaknesses, because now there are two of us that are looking to protect what we have.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. In fact, I remember all through our marriage, I really didn't see that you had many weaknesses because you were hiding them.
Yes.
So it was a real shock to me after you started recovery to hear all the different weaknesses that you were enumerating to me. And I was a little blown away at first, but so grateful that I could actually see you as a person who has those deep feelings and emotions and can be very real and vulnerable with me.
Right.
It makes me feel closer to you.
Yes. And speaking of transparency and vulnerability, we've been working on my triggers. What triggers me and who triggers me?
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Which leads to one that's relatively difficult to speak about is my arousal template.
Yes.
So when I'm out in public, who meets that template? And is that person triggering me to the extent where I need to share? Lots of times it's not triggering because there's been a great track record of recovery and a lot of good progress has been made. But there are times when it just happens. It's there.
Mm-hmm.
And I do get triggered because this woman fits my template. And I share that with you so that you're not in the dark, and so that now I have an ally. This doesn't mean that you see somebody that could possibly be in my template and grab me by the shoulders, turn me the other way, and escort me out of the room,
right.
like the president who just been shot at or something like that.
Right.
It's just knowing the potential hazards of my addiction recovery that are just present and a part of our reality as we move forward. And you knowing that weakness in me is helpful so that we can maintain this closeness together and you don't feel in the dark and I'm not hiding.
Right. Yeah. It's really good that we've been able to work through that and address those things in real time.
Something I do want to explain is how I see that there is a difference between transparency and vulnerability. For the greatest part of my life growing up and married life with you, I had the capacity to be quite transparent. I was very open about the difficult youth that I had, my acting out through anger, the trouble that I got into, getting thrown out of every school that I attended.
Right.
You know, I was able to be that kind of transparent, and people gravitated toward that in me and even applauded me for that kind of transparency. But what levels up transparency into vulnerability is when I risk being rejected by telling deeper things about me, the things that could possibly hurt when I say them. While I was being transparent with a big portion of my past growing up, I still wasn't being vulnerable with the truth about the deeper things inside of me. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, quite the opposite. I built quite a powerful wall. And the first line of defense in that powerful wall was my gregarious personality. Mm-hmm. If I look like everything is going really well on the outside, nobody will even suspect that anything is wrong on the inside.
Right. And then when you're transparent with some of the things that are going wrong in your life, those things that don't really hurt you to say, but other people might think, wow, he's really vulnerable. He's really transparent. But you were actually just being transparent, not vulnerable.
Right. I was giving away the things easy to give away. Another term for that, that's fodder. I can throw that stuff down for you to eat up. Mm-hmm. Why? Because it keeps you at a distance from my real pain.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's probably more common in folks than we even realize.
Yes. And certainly the more you and I coach with folks, the more we see evidence of that.
Mm-hmm.
So the last one of our three steps is rigorous honesty.
And rigorous honesty is what?
Rigorous honesty is the complete truth at all costs.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a hard thing for most people to do, you know, because we do care about other people and we don't want to hurt them. And we also don't want to hurt ourselves by hurting someone else, right?
Right.
So being rigorously honest can be painful sometimes. But if you're not rigorously honest in some things, you won't be rigorously honest in everything, which becomes you're not rigorously honest in anything.
That's correct. And I'm really glad that you finished off by saying that, is that once you start on a path of rigorous honesty, it can never be in just one area. It will start to touch all areas. Why? Because you will start to see the freedom that comes from chasing down the truth, bringing what was in the dark into the light, and seeing the words that Jesus says about the truth setting us free. Not just setting us free, but making us free, like made anew.
Yes.
And you will want more of that.
Yes.
Because it's powerful.
And it can be painful for a moment. But then, like you said, that freedom comes from knowing that you have no guilt or shame, that you have no secrets, that you have this open pathway between us that is clear of debris, it's clear of the brambles, there's no trip hazards, and we just have this real close connection based on truth.
Emily, you're absolutely right. And I can think of no better way to describe this rigorous honesty than back when recovery was just starting for you and I. We had just come out of discovery and disclosure, and I'm still not being completely forthright with all of my information. This is a word my best friend likes to use a lot, the word forthright. You need to get these words out, and you need to be ready to say these things, is the idea of what being forthright is. I was not being forthright. You were asking me questions about details that I thought you were just flat crazy for asking me. How could you possibly want to know the answer to those questions? It seemed counterproductive and seemed like it was pointless. And like, what is the end game here? The end game was, is that you had questions that you needed answers to for your own ability to heal and to be able to wrap your mind around what was going on. You're trying to make sense out of the senseless.
Mm-hmm.
And rigorous honesty, gentlemen, on our part is a gift to our wives.
Yes.
To help them, like I just said, make sense out of the senseless, and helps them to be able to move forward in their own way, even if they're asking impossible questions.
Yeah, it's absolutely necessary to know what you need to know before you can move forward as a betrayed wife. And when you're getting half-truths, lies of omission, lies of commission. It just makes everything even more confusing and traumatic. So rigorous honesty, yes, can hurt. It hurts to hear the truth, and it hurts to tell the truth. But the fruit of that honesty just blossoms and grows in a connection that is so strong that when you know that your spouse is being totally honest with you, there is nothing that you cannot survive.
Emily, that is so true. And thank you for saying that. So just for our listeners, in case you feel that what Emily and I are communicating to you is a little Pollyanna on our part, where this is just happy-go-lucky and Emily and I are just going through this and everything is really great, I will tell you that when I am transparent, when I am vulnerable, and when I am rigorously honest with Emily, it still hurts. 5 years into recovery, and those three daily practices still hurt.
Yeah.
Because I don't want these things to be true about me. But they are. And I only help the situation if I practice those three with my wife on a daily basis and bring my darkness into light so that she can see it and join with me. But also from Emily's part, she doesn't like to hear it.
No, it's not easy to hear. But I would rather have the truth than to be left in the dark.
It's so beautiful. Thank you, Emily, so much. You know, we've talked in the past that you are my fierce defender.
Yeah.
And that is the number one reason why I have learned that practicing transparency, vulnerability, and rigorous honesty are a good thing, because you have not just become my ally. That's way too passive. You always have been my fierce defender. Now I know that. Before, I couldn't receive it. I couldn't understand that because of the shame and the guilt that was just piled upon piled inside of me. But now all that is gone because of these three practices. I can know that although I don't want to have to share certain things with you because it's painful, nobody likes pain.
But pain is a good teacher.
It is a very good teacher and a powerful one at that. But I know that when I do that, I've got a powerful, loving wife in my corner, a powerful prayer warrior, and a powerful woman who has stood the test of time next to me and has proven that everything that she says is true about how much she loves me.
And, you know, the love will always be there no matter what happens. The trust may not always be there, but the love will always be there. But when you're honest with me, I'm able to trust you so much more easily.
Emily, we are at the place where we love to share the word. So
yes.
What do you have for us today?
Okay. We're just going to highlight one of the passages that we already read today from Genesis 2 in a different version, because it reads, "At last, the man exclaimed, this is bone from my bone and flesh from my flesh. She will be called woman because she was taken from man. This explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one."
And here is the hope for today. When we live our lives with zero distance between ourselves and our spouse, we are living inside of God's plan for true intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
And sexual intimacy is a beautiful expression of that true intimacy.
Yes, it is.
Well, Emily, I have really enjoyed unpacking these three steps to true intimacy today, because it has been so helpful for us. Difficult and painful at times. We've said it a couple of times now. It's simple, but not easy.
Right.
And we're grateful that we have this daily process that we can work through, because each day something gets better.
Yes. Yes. Isn't that great? It's sometimes hard to even believe that what we have can get even better, but it always does when we commit to being transparent, vulnerable, and rigorously honest.
That's right. So Emily, as we wrap this up for today, would you close us in prayer, please?
Absolutely. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you give us these tools from your word. You teach us how to be transparent, how to be vulnerable, how to be rigorously honest, And all we have to do is follow those examples and obey what you have laid out for us in your perfect plan for us. Father, it's simple, but it's not easy. You know, as humans, it doesn't come naturally to lay down our lives for somebody else. But your Son also showed us through his example on the cross, dying for our sins, that we can also die to ourselves on a daily basis and connect with those we love. And so, Father, we're so grateful to have your Holy Spirit who can guide us and comfort us and teach us how to live our lives in a sacrificial way for each other every day. We ask that for those who are listening, that they would seek your face, that they would dive into your word and find out what your plan is for them. And then they would take those steps to have that connection with you and in their own marriages. We thank you and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So, Johnny, what encouragement do you have for our listeners today?
Today, I want to encourage our listeners, take time each and every day to work on these three steps to intimacy, transparency, vulnerability, and rigorous honesty, in order to close the distance between you and your spouse. If you need some help understanding more about how to do this, you can book a coaching call with me, Emily, or both of us at coaching.beyondbrokenvows.com, and we can walk alongside you on this journey to healing. That's coaching.beyondbrokenvows.com.
And join us next week because we're going to dissect the difference between sobriety and recovery. Just a hint, they are not the same thing.
Wow, this is going to be good.
So until next time,
marriage is redeemed,
hearts renewed on Beyond Broken Vows podcast. Thank you so much for joining us today. And before you go, if this podcast encouraged you and you're feeling some hope for today, please share this show with someone else you know who's going through a similar situation and needs to know they're not alone. One of the best ways you can help us reach more people is to leave us a 5-star written review on Apple Podcasts. And don't forget to hit subscribe so you don't miss out on upcoming episodes. And as always, we would love to hear from you with questions and comments. Just email us at support@beyondbrokenvows.com. As you walk out this journey one day at a time, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.